These are the Qayshi Tapes. Uman and Favaz explore the backstories and interviews heard on Qayshi, the longest-running rock station in the country.
Qayshi Tapes, episode 37.
Whee!
I'm John. I'm John.
I sound Ewis. Like you there.
I know. And you sound like Brett Hull there, too. Brett
oh,
Hull,
hey. A lot of... Gloria, I got your number.
The Blues won the Stanley
Cup. The only thing that would have been funnier if he said, I got your number right here.
He was probably drunk enough to do that, too. Thank goodness it didn't happen.
Oh, man.
But, here in St. Louis, we are just so excited about our Blues winning the Stanley Cup for the first time ever.
Yeah.
And we beat a team from Boston, and our subject matter today is someone who comes from...
Boston!
So we thought, well, now that we kicked their asses, it's okay to go ahead and feature him on our Qayshi Tapes podcast today.
Yeah, we're doing Tom Scholz of Boston, and... I don't like the guy, and there's a few reasons why, but he gives a really good interview here.
Yeah.
But just a little bit of setup, it was like jumping through hoops to get this interview set up. He had a woman that was his go-between and said, hey, he's going to call here. Now, what are you going to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
And things like that, you know? Yeah. And I'm just like, come on, just let me do my job. And, you know, one of the things that I definitely wanted to ask him was about, he was always involved in lawsuits all the time. So I wanted to ask him about that, but of course I didn't tell her that,
right.
You know?
Sure.
Should I say what happened after the interview, or should I wait?
This was not for him. This was not him coming to town for our pig roast, because there was an incident
right. Well, that's one of the reasons. Let's get that. He made us change the name of the pig roast because he is a vegan, and he didn't like the idea of it being called a pig roast.
Right.
Of all things, like who cares? You're still getting paid, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, but we had to change the name of it, and we had already announced it, and we already had promos on the air, and we had to just call it a Qayshi concert. I guess it was. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But
he had already been booked, and set in stone.
Oh, it was done. Yeah. It was
And he comes in at the last minute and says, "I don't want it to be called a pig roast."
Right,
and there was no pig being roasted.
No,
it's
no,
just
there's Qayshi's, never a pig.
It's a sweet meat thing. It's,
yeah, well, it's a pig roast is a party. When you say you're going to a pig roast, that is a party.
Right,
you know. So, and there's a couple other things that I'll go into after the interview, but you know, he was pretty cool here. You know. And it's kind of surprising, and he answered all my questions, and we posted it online, and that is one of the issues that we had afterwards that I'll tell you about.
All right, here we go. Tom Scholz of Boston.
Tom Scholz of Boston is with me, and Tom, I have to tell you, when I booked this interview, I saw that your guitar player, Gary Peel, was your backup to do the interview, and I thought for sure that I'd be interviewing Gary because you don't do interviews that often. I think
not very often.
Yeah,
but I've got the day off.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking forward to the show. So I said.
I see. It's August 31st. Boston returns to St. Louis with Kansas and April Wine, and then we have a front stage with some bands. And how's life for you right now, Tom? Where do you live? What are you doing?
Life is good. Well, I'm living on the road, of course. We're in the middle of a little summer tour. I've got the day off. So,
and this from a guy who hated to tour back in the day. They didn't think they could replicate their sound very well, if I remember, in the early days.
You know, it's kind of funny because they sound great.
Yeah.
You know, and if you go to a Boston show and you listen, especially for the guitars, he's very picky about the live sound. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt. It sounds just like the record.
Yeah.
I mean, they sound good.
Right.
I'm feeling good about the world. Looking forward to the show. This will be the second show we're doing with Kansas. They're playing great.
Man, Boston, Kansas back in the day.
Yeah. You couldn't beat those two bands, man.
Sound great.
Yeah.
We're actually having a very good tour this time. Everything sort of fell into place, and it's been a great trip so far.
So tell us who, besides yourself, is in the band these days.
Oh, geez, I don't remember all their names. I'm just kidding.
That was a joke, John.
I kind of believe him.
I don't.
I don't talk to any of these guys. I do it myself for the most part and just get somebody.
Well, I do believe, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, of course, you mentioned Gary. And
yeah,
he's been
right.
He's my longtime my longtime guy. We've been doing this together for 26 years. And to be honest with you, he's the one that got me back out doing shows again back in the 80s. And he's sort of, you know, he's sort of the driving force behind getting these shows together.
And, of course, Gary was the longtime rhythm guitar player for Sammy Hagar, who, of course,
that's right. That's how I met him, playing for Sammy. And
that's right.
They used to open for us. You know, he's always there. I wouldn't be out here if he wasn't there. And I would have to mention Tommy DiCarlo, who is, of course, our lead singer, who is just doing a phenomenal job. The guy is... he's unbelievable.
Well, don't kill this guy.
Hey! Wow! All right.
That was one of the lawsuits, right?
That was one of the lawsuits that he was responsible for the death of Brad Delp.
Yeah, his family was suing Scholes for instigating Brad Delp's problems, and then he eventually killed himself.
Yeah.
Honest with you,
by the way, Tom Scholes is 72 years old.
He is?
Yeah.
Wow.
I just I find myself listening to him sing sometimes and losing my spot. But
That's good. That's a good thing.
Well, you better fire him.
Does he eat meat?
That's how you get fired, Tom. Just sneaking meat into the.
Right. What if you're in the band? I mean, I met Gary Peel a few times, but. You know, if you eat meat and you're in Boston and the leader is a vegan and he went so far as to change the name of the show from pig roast to whatever, are you allowed to eat meat around him? I don't know.
Yeah, probably not.
On drums. Played with us in the 90s for a few tours. All around it was just things, the chemistry really fell together this time. We had a really difficult preparation trying to get the production together. We had all sorts of things planned, and it seemed like everything we tried to do wouldn't work for some reason or another. There was
because I'm a stickler and I just can't get along with people. Maybe that's it. I don't know.
No, that wouldn't be it.
Problem. And then the first show came up in July or at the end of June, and it was like somebody turned a switch, and from that point on, everything worked.
Well, right on. Good to hear that.
It's been awesome. And,
great when that happens once or twice in a lifetime.
The audience response has been phenomenal. We're in a very good mood.
Well,
and
good.
That's why I'm calling you today.
See? I'm telling you, man.
Yeah.
Hmm? We're talking to Tom Scholes of Boston. And you know, the one thing I wanted to ask you, Tom, because, I mean, you know, and I'm just going to put it right out there.
Uh-oh.
Here we go.
Uh-oh.
I think this has got to be about the lawsuit question.
Does his mood change as the interview goes along?
No.
Oh, okay.
He answers everything.
All right.
How much do you think you've spent in legal fees since that first Boston record came out?
Ooh, good question.
Yeah. So everything that's gone on in your life, whether it be record companies or lawsuits or whatever, you must have a hell of a retainer for somebody.
I have no idea. But, you know, for any. Well, I know that it's a lot less than many bands. Unfortunately, one of the side effects of being the writer and producer and basically the principal musician for 30 million albums. There's so much money involved that it brings out all the snakes and it brings out the worst in people. So I've had, I refuse to back down with some of these. I've been the target of pretty much every record company or corporation that I've been involved with. And I just you can't back down from these people.
Now, I hate to defend the record companies because there are a bunch of snakes
there.
They are. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
But if there's anyone where you could possibly have sympathy for a record company, it'd probably be a deal between him, Tom Scholes, and the record company.
He's got to be hard on them, man. I mean, it's just got to be.
But, you know, you're talking about a guy here, too, who the cost factor for that first album was like nothing.
Right.
He did it himself in his basement practically, you know, with the other members of the band.
Yeah.
So, you know, his profit on this thing is immense.
Yeah.
And has been from pretty much day one.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think he is an engineer from MIT.
Yeah, yeah. He is. Yeah, he's a very smart guy.
Yeah. Right.
For what something I have, the whole process, that part of it, the business side, has been just awful. I mean, it's just been that has been pretty much all of the worst experiences of my life have been with the people and the companies that are just trying to make money off the music. And then on the other extreme is the artistic side, the writing the music and creating the albums actually in a basement studio and then performing on stage. That has been some of the best moments of my life.
Sure.
So it's this amazing black and white side of things.
You know, it's amazing we didn't hear from him, or maybe we did and I just didn't hear him speak about the internet's effect on profits for artists.
I've never heard him either.
Yeah, I've never heard him say anything about it. You think if anybody would,
it would be him. Yeah. You know, and here's the other thing. Just remember everything that he's saying here, how open he is, how he's responding to all of this. Just remember that he answered the question about lawsuits and being on him. Just remember, and we'll get to it.
Okay.
But you can't escape the nasty side of people. That part of the population that is, greedy or wants their name in lights or is bitter because they didn't get this or they didn't get that. You can't escape that if you have some success with the artistic side.
So that was segment one with Tom Scholz, and we went into music, and here comes...
This was done live on the air.
Well,
so
it seems like it. So... here comes segment two. And you can't play music on a podcast unless you want to pay out the ass for it.
Right. So
it's KSU95, Real Rock Radio. That's Boston, of course. And we're on the phone right now with Tom Scholz of Boston. Tom was just talking about lawyers and things like that and fighting record companies. And Tom, isn't it funny now in 2012, you don't even need a record label to put out an album?
Well, not only that, you can't find one.
Yeah, true.
they created their own demise, to be honest with you.
Yeah, they did. So, Tom, when you're reminded of that first Boston record and how many copies it sold, and then, you know, Don't Look Back comes out and goes big too. I mean, was that period a blur, or is that still really all clear in your mind?
Well, it's of course, since I was in the middle of all of it, it's quite clear. Actually.
Since I was the boss, I remember, and it's 2012. We just figured that out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because he said, or I said,
yeah. So
that's only, that's how long the interview. 7 years ago. Seven years ago.
Mm-hmm. I remember everything in great detail. It was a surprise, though. I will say that.
I'll bet. Can you imagine?
What?
How surprised he must have been to have this album become one of the iconic albums in rock and roll history when he was doing it all by himself
in his basement.
In his basement.
Yeah.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
After I finished making that first Boston album, I went back to work at Polaroid. I wasn't expecting anything to happen.
That's right.
He worked at Polaroid.
Yeah.
I think I remember that.
He was one of their engineers or something wasn't
like
he?
That, actually, yeah.
I was back at. I went back to work there for 2 or 3 months, and then finally I realized I was actually going to have to leave if I was going to follow up with the record that I had recorded in my basement. And but who would have guessed? Especially that one. An album that actually was recorded not only in a basement studio, but in a basement studio with an incredibly low budget on some obsolete used equipment and some things that I had cobbled together. Who would have thought that would be the
right.
highest selling debut album?
Yeah. He didn't make any money off of it. Wow. I mean, he's talking about how cheaply it was made.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. Probably the most unique thing to ever happen in rock and roll history.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
I mean, he knew what the hell he was doing.
Yeah.
You know, you have to keep in mind, this was in 1976. In 1976, I was told over and over again that it was too bad that I was interested in rock and roll. Because the only way I would sell records is if I was doing disco.
Because disco was starting to really get going,
big,
man.
Yeah.
So I was prepared for total, failure financially, and just hoping to have an artistic success. So I was, no one was more shocked than I was when More Than a Feeling took off.
Yeah, something else. All right, so we're talking to Tom Scholz of Boston.
And I can remember when that album first came to KC95. And, you know, there were so many.
That was the year you started.
Yeah, it 76. Was. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I remember the album sitting on the floor, leaning up against Ron Stevens' desk, who was our program director at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sat there for, I want to say, a couple of weeks, because there always were new artists, or
sure.
new albums coming out from artists back then, you know?
Right.
The industry was evolving and flourishing, and everything was new. And every time somebody put something out, you took the time to listen to it. So there was kind of like a backup. And plus, you're talking about a band there. Nobody knew anything about.
Right.
So why would you give it an immediate listen? You
right.
wouldn't. And it just sat there for a couple of weeks.
Goes on the stack.
Yeah. And then we started playing More Than a Feeling, and hey, this is a pretty good song. People started liking
mm-hmm.
it. And then after that, it was just one right after another off that album. And it just was a slow grower. I don't know if any song off that album was ever a top 40 hit now that I
think. That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Have to check that out.
Mm-hmm. So, Tom, I have to ask this question, but will there ever be another Boston record?
Yeah, there will be. In fact, it's almost done.
Tease us now. You've done that before.
Almost done. Almost done. And I was actually working on the last song for the album when the chance for this little tour came up this summer, and so I decided to put off finishing the last tune. So I will use the tour as an excuse for a few more months away. But yes, it is, and it's been a long time in the making. I'm very excited about it. A lot of the songs are sort of a return to the somewhat simpler arrangements I did back in the 70s. But there's also some really cool instrumental work that's
great.
More like a third stage and walk on. So
right on.
I'm
guess,
very excited about
it. More Than a Feeling peaked at number 5, so it was a top 40 hit.
I guess he's talking about Life, Love, and Hope, that famous Boston record, because it came out in 2013, and I don't know anything about it. I know we didn't play anything off of it.
No. Oh, on the phone with me is Tom Scholz of Boston. And, Tom, back in the day, the first time I saw Boston, Sammy Hagar opened up. And I think that was the last time Sammy was ever an opening act. And just remember, it was a great night. It was at the Checker Dome. I mean, do you remember gigs like that? I mean, you guys must have been out with Sammy quite a bit.
We did probably 100 shows with Sammy Hagar.
Wow.
In the 70s. I will tell you this. The show that you're going to see at the Verizon Amphitheater will knock your socks off if you enjoyed the one in 1979. It's several generations better than what you saw, and you won't have to be stoned to enjoy it. That's the great thing.
Right on. Now, when Tom, when Brad passed away a few years ago, were you worried that this whole thing, I mean, you would never do this again? What motivated you to go back out?
It became obvious that people really wanted to hear Boston music. They, I realized that it was the songs that people wanted to hear. So that's what got me motivated. There was a tremendous response from fans and friends saying, we still want to hear these songs, and that's really what motivated me. And of course, stumbling onto or finding the right singers to take Brad's place, that made it so much easier.
Sure.
Tommy DiCarlo is just he does a phenomenal job on stage, and now we have a second guy named David Victor, who is actually used to do tribute bands with Boston music, filling in on the three-part guitar harmonies and the vocals, and Tracy Ferry on bass, and everything clicked. We've got people will hear their favorite songs sounding just like they did on their turned up to 105 decibels, and At the same time, they're going to hear a lot of cool stuff that we do that's improvisational.
Yeah, when I think of Boston music live, I don't want to hear some long jams.
No.
You know, you just want to hear it the way it is on the record.
Yeah, because they had such a unique sound.
Yeah.
You know, Brad Delp had a great, vocal. And just the three-part harmonies on guitar, that's what you want to hear. And you do.
Yeah.
He's right about that.
It's not on any recording. So people have a great time. We're traveling with the world's largest gong. And
the world's largest gong?
Gong. Not schlong, but gong. Yes.
And an amazing light show.
I just can't wait to hear the guitars, Tom. I just cannot wait to hear that.
You will hear plenty.
Oh, man. All right, Tom Scholz, man. It was great talking today. Great to have you back on Casey. And certainly Casey was right there at the beginning, like other rock stations were. But
they were, and we're looking forward to playing this show. I can't tell you, it will be one of the high points of the tour.
Oh, well, right on. Thank you, Tom. August 31st, Verizon Wireless. Tom Scholz of Boston. See you, Tom.
Thank you for
that. Oh, he didn't make fun of your name. Doggone
it. I wonder if that was the pig roast that we had to change the name for. That could have been.
Yeah, that could have
been.
You
know, with Kansas and April Wine. And then I alluded to the fact in the beginning that there were bands on another stage. So it sounds like.
I don't think so. I think that pig roast was just a few years ago.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, so after this interview, we posted it online. I got a call literally the day of from the woman who set up the interview. His person, asking me to take it down because of those questions about all the lawyers. Tom, I guess, afterwards felt weird, or he probably didn't remember what he said, or maybe he listened to it on the website. And I was like, really? You want me to take it down?
Yeah.
I'm like, no.
Yeah, what could he have said there that was...
Yeah, I told her. I was like, I asked that question, and he just went with it. And that's why I jumped in there and said, listen to what he's saying here. He answered it, you know, and what was so bad about it?
Right.
You know, he was honest.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way that I would take it down, and I didn't. Yeah. I remember telling our boss at the time, Rick Bayless, I was like, we should take this down. There's no way. I mean, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so that kind of thing.
So you didn't take it down and nothing came of it?
Nothing came of it. I've never interviewed him again.
Yeah.
But there was one other thing.
Oh.
Now, this just happened a few years ago. I was doing a broadcast out at the amphitheater before a Boston show. And, Tom, because he is a vegan, he travels with all of his own, caterers and everything. He's got that back area all, jacked up. And so I'm sitting there and I'm doing the broadcast and I notice him walking around. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I didn't even want to go up to him.
Should I say something?
No, yeah. Right. And yeah. But I was like, I'm not going to, because he was, he was a jerk about the interview and the pig roast and all that. We were done at like 6 o'clock, I think. He complained to management there at the venue that we were there and he wanted us gone.
You mean you were doing a live broadcast till 6 back there?
Yeah, it was like 4 to 6.
Yeah.
And I think he noticed us at like 5:30-ish. I remember him walking around, like I said.
Yeah.
And he complained to the production manager that we should be gone. And I was just like, we're here to promote your show.
Right.
To get more people here.
Right.
This is what we do.
And what we have been doing for 35, 40 years.
And so I get the call as I'm in my car leaving. I can't remember who it was from, but it was, something to the effect that Tom wants you gone. I was like, well, tell Tom we are gone.
Yeah.
And I'll never, ever do another broadcast before a Boston show. I won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, because not only because of everything that led up to it, but because he wanted us gone.
Yeah.
It's just like, and I think there were some other things involved. I think, I don't know if we had clearance to be there from his people or whatever, but we're there at every show, Live Nation, the people that booked that amphitheater, they want us at every show because they want us talking about it and bringing people in. He didn't like it.
Yeah. And you didn't even go up to him.
No, I never even said anything to him. So, the hell with Tom Scholz.
Yeah. At 72 years of age, you think he'd mellow out by now and be more appreciative. But, looking back at what people have done to help him get where he is. But I guess he looks at it the way, hey, nobody helped me. I did it myself.
Right.
So, hell with all of
I'm the boss. I can do what I want.
Mm.
I feel sorry for his tour manager, because his tour manager must just, you're normally in a band setting. The tour manager is the boss. He arranges for the interviews. You go here to this day, make sure everything. I bet you Tom does all that. Yeah. He just sits there and goes, what the fuck do I do?
Makes you wonder if the family of Brad Delp had a
valid reason for suing him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I guess it's probably something we really shouldn't touch on how it ended or anything like that. I mean, you can Google it, but it was a sad time for sure.
Yeah. Tom Scholz living up to his reputation of being a Boston ass. And they lost
Won the Stanley Cup. Yeah.
Take that, Tom.
Yeah.
All right. I'm John Hewlett. You can follow me on Twitter at STLUMan and on Instagram at Johnny Hewlett.
Favaz, KC Guy, Twitter and Instagram, KC95 Favaz, Facebook.
Adios, my friend. Except you, Tom Scholz. My enemy. The friend of my enemy is my enemy. No, my friend.
A frenemy. He's a frenemy. You ever heard of that? Your daughters have heard of that. Uh-uh. Frenemy? Oh, they're a friend, but they're your enemy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know he's going to sue us.
We're going to get a call about this podcast. I know it.
The KC Tapes with you, man, and Favaz. For more on the history of KC, go to KC95.com or the KC mobile app.